Chapter 1, 28 years earlier. Rose and Harry met on a blind date, introduced by mutual friends. Rose had been impressed by his dark good looks and law degree. She wanted to marry a professional man. Harry fell in love at first sight. Harry thought Rose as beautiful as the flower that bore her name. She literally stopped traffic when she walked down the street. She gloried in her green eyes, set off by a white, flawless skin, sculpted legs, and slim figure. They met after Rose graduated from nursing school. She was working 8-hour shifts, 6 days a week. She thought Harry good-looking in a very masculine way. He wasn't classically handsome, but had beautiful dark eyes and olive skin. She liked that he was stocky without being fat. That's how her brothers were built. From the start, they made a perfect example of the attraction of opposites. He was cerebral and bookish, quiet, but with a startling and witty sense of humor. He followed politics and what was going on in the world. He came from poverty. She came from old world Hungarian wealth. Rose was smart and good at her job, but flighty, frivolous, and flirtatious. Her love for him was fickle. "Why did you decide to be a nurse? I don't know any other Jewish girls who are nurses," asked Harry on the night they met. "I don't remember now, but I think it might have been the posters. Remember? During the war, there were posters of beautiful girls wearing nurses' uniforms. I thought they looked so pretty. My parents weren't happy with me when I said I wanted to be a nurse. They really got mad when I said I wanted to go to school in New York. But you did it anyway. That's pretty brave. How'd you get so brave?" "Well, I grew up with three brothers. They're all pretty tough. I had to hold my own. I love Cleveland, but I wanted to see someplace new. What about you? Why'd you leave Baltimore?" "I didn't want to leave. I had a great job there with a good firm." He began to laugh. "Do you know I used to run into the great-nephew of Edgar Allan Poe in the hallways?" "Who's that?" asked Rose. "I don't know him." "Oh, a writer I like. He's gone now. But the funny thing was that the great-nephew had the same name. Anyway, I left because my sister and her husband live here in Brooklyn. They weren't doing so well, so I came to live with them and help out." "That was awfully nice of you," said Rose, with a wink and a smile. Harry lost no time courting Rose. He felt the envy of every man on the street. She was young, beautiful, and vibrant. She laughed at his slightest comment and showed her affection by squeezing his arm or brushing his cheek. He couldn't believe his good fortune. Harry hadn't dated in college or law school. He'd been keenly aware of the need to study and succeed. He knew he was smart enough to succeed without studying terribly hard, but he did anyway, feeling guilty any time he did anything else. The night he met Rose was one of the few exceptions to an otherwise dead social calendar. He quickly realized that Rose, while intelligent, was not interested in books, newspapers, or the opera that he loved so much. As a well-brought-up Jewish girl from a once aristocratic Eastern European family, Rose had never gotten her hands dirty doing housework. As a nurse, she had to get used to seeing and cleaning up blood and feces and changing bed linens soaked in urine, sweat, and vomit. But that was different, and Rose never doubted that she'd made the right decision. She loved nursing and the looks on the faces of the people she helped. When she met Harry, she'd already dated several doctors, but none were interested in marriage. They liked to flirt with the nurses, but in front of the patients, they were aloof and demanding. She wondered which way they behaved with their wives. At work, Rose wore a starched white uniform and the cap with the black ribbon. The pristine white stockings and the seam up the back showed off her pretty legs. The special nurse's shoes, while unfashionable and boxy, added to the picture of the perfect nurse, competent and professional. When Rose worked in the hospital, she prepared meals for the patients, cleaned the ward and the instruments, mixed medications with a mortar and pestle, changed dressings, and offered comfort. She kept recipes for mustard plasters and other remedies in a black and white modeled school notebook. Put 1 tablespoon of mustard powder and 1 tablespoon of flour in a bowl. Add water until there is a thick paste. Use the bottom of a spoon to apply the mixture to a piece of fabric large enough to cover the chest. Keep it on the chest for 15 minutes. She followed the doctors, fending off their advances as they made their rounds. She was silent and unchallenging, clearing her glass syringe with steel needle in a special case, ready to use and sterilize for each patient. Unlike the demanding doctors, Harry had seemed like an easygoing guy who would probably make just as much money as an attorney. She was thrilled when he proposed. She remembered the day they married, a year after their first meeting. It was a small ceremony in her parents' living room with the rabbi, their parents, and a few friends. Rose wore a traditional wedding dress, long, white, lacy, and crowned by a veil affixed to a stylish headband. A photo taken that day showed her seated sideways, looking downward with a calculated Mona Lisa smile. The veil didn't cover her face, but draped itself gently over her neck and shoulders. Harry wasn't in the picture. Later, she realized it was better that way. They moved into a 2-family house in Brownsville. Harry had trouble finding steady work with one firm, so he freelanced. Rose worked at Brownsville Hospital. Rose remembered those years in the late 1920s as being generally happy and hopeful. She was determined to continue nursing until their first child was born, telling Harry that she didn't want to waste her education or the nursing experience she'd gained. Harry became concerned when she got involved in socialist causes, but she participated because her girlfriends from the hospital had joined a club. Mostly they had cocktails and gossiped. They made her feel like a radical, although she felt little ideological commitment to the cause. Things started to sour when Harry's parents, Ben and Judy, moved to New York to live in the 2-family house with them. Rose wasn't happy about it, or that Harry gave some of his hard-earned money to his sister Ellen and her husband Irving. They argued about Harry's father, who was drunk most of the day. Worse yet, his mother was always telling Rose what to do and wanted her to wait on them hand and foot. Rose finally put her foot down. "Harry, your parents have got to go. They don't even pay us rent. My money is going to paying the rent for all of us. Your father drinks whatever money you give him. We can't do it anymore." "I can't throw them out into the street, Rose," he replied. "What do you expect me to do? No one else in my family has any money to speak of." "Why can't they go back to Baltimore and live with your mother's sister?" Rose asked. They were standing in the kitchen while Rose made dinner. She was making her infamous hamburgers, raw on the inside and burnt on the outside. The kitchen was the one place in the apartment they knew was somewhat soundproof, ensuring that they would not be overheard by his parents upstairs. "We are barely getting by," she continued as she flipped the hamburgers with a flat metal spatula. "I know, Rose," Harry replied, putting his arms around her as she stood facing the stove. "Your pay from the hospital is helping a lot. Soon, I hope to get a lucrative case that will solve all our money problems." "We can't count on that, not right now," she said, turning off the burner, ripping off her apron, and heading for the kitchen doorway. "They've got to go. We need paying tenants. Send them back where they came from, Harry, especially if you're going to keep supporting Ellen and her family." Rose didn't wait for his answer, but turned on her heel and went through the living room to their bedroom. Harry sat on one of the kitchen chairs and idly picked at the stuffing, which was sticking out of a small tear in the fabric. He would have to explain to his parents that these were hard times for him and Rose. They were newlyweds who needed time to get used to one another. He would still plan to send them some money every month if they could find a way to move back in with his aunt in Baltimore. They would just have to understand. He broke the news to his dad in the local bar where Ben spent most of his days. It's that selfish wife of yours, Harry, Ben fumed. What do you mean selfish, Dad? Look where we are and what you're doing. If you didn't sit and drink, you and Ma would have some money and a place of your own. We're your parents. You shouldn't speak to me that way, Ben slurred. What are we supposed to do, Harry? You're kicking us out. I can't believe it. We scraped and saved for you to go to law school. Now you can't help us when we need it? I feel terrible, Dad, but we're just starting out. I need to start saving so we can start our own family. I'm giving money to Ellen every month. I'll send you what I can. After his parents angrily moved out, Harry brought in boarders to help pay the rent. Walking around town, he was always meeting people who needed a place to live. He preferred to rent to single, studious young men who were working hard to better themselves, just like he was. He charged them cheap rent. Rose never let him forget it.